whether we're on the most neophyte of stage or all the way up in terms all the way up the ladder of development in Krishna consciousness, all the way up to the highest level of Krishna consciousness. But on my level, at least, I constantly contemplate how I can, in this life, on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, to somehow or another practically implement the instructions that Krishna is giving us. And one of the things, I see there's a lot of white dhotis here, so one of the things as a married person, as a grihastha, and also when I give lectures in various places, oftentimes the question comes up from persons who are married, you know, how do I balance my life? So that's why the title of this lecture is Giving is Living. Because oftentimes it is described by Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being in a particular environment can produce a particular result. Now the environment of family life is an ashram. That's why it's called Grihastha Ashram. It is an ashram, means it is an environment by which one can make spiritual advancement. And one should make spiritual advancement. But it is also, just like any other ashram, any of the ashrams of renunciation, like Brahmachari, Vanaprast, or Sannyas, it has its pitfalls, its obstacles, things to contend with, which make it very difficult. Obstacles that may be both gross and subtle. So in this way, we have to be very, very careful while traversing the path, our spiritual path. We have to be careful, just as if you're walking on a path and you're not careful, sometimes there may be a pothole in the road, a pitfall that's there, and you can easily fall into it or trip on it and break your ankle or so many different ways you can harm yourself. So in the path of spiritual life, we have to identify, recognize, and make a concerted effort to pinpoint these pitfalls that may be there. And in Grihastha life in particular, one of the deepest pitfalls that is there is what? I'm sorry? Sex attraction. But that's there in every ashram. And that's true, because that's a pervasive force. Adideva? What's that? Having access to a kitchen? That's true. Yes? Accumulating wealth. Now we're getting closer. Yes, sir. Advaitacharya. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Now we're in the ballpark. The thing that I'm keying in on this evening is miserliness, which, as Tulsi said, accumulation of wealth or unrestricted sense gratification, which can contribute to miserliness. Miserliness is of three types. Can anyone guess which of these three types? What's the simplest one? Miserliness in relationship to? Huh? Money. Wealth. So that's the first type of miserliness. The second type of miserliness is? Anyone guess? Sorry? The family? Attachments. More specific, it's miserliness of effort. In other words, what we put out or what we don't put out in effort, in endeavor. It's said that we may not have Krishna love for Krishna at this stage. If we're on the Vaidhi Bhakti stage, we may not have love for Krishna, but we can certainly demonstrate our desire to love him through endeavor. So miserliness of wealth, miserliness of effort, and miserliness, this is a big thing with me, miserliness of behavior. What does miserly mean? Miserly means you keep it, right? You keep it to yourself. Opposite would be someone who's generous. So miserliness of wealth in the particular environment that we are in, we know we have pressures. We have family pressures. We have mortgage pressures. We have all kinds of pressures. We know that's there on a moment-by-moment basis. And you can feel that pressure. That's when the heart becomes heavy. It's a difference between one who's lighthearted and one who's heavy-hearted. Lighthearted means that we see things in perspective. Isivasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat tena taktena bunjita magriha kashasvidhanam. In the Ishupanishad, it's described that Krishna, in paraphrase, Krishna is the supreme controller. He owns everything. And anyone who doesn't see in relationship to that proprietorship, that proper proprietorship, then he's considered a miser or a thief. He's taking what is not his and hoarding it, or as Tulsi said, accumulating it beyond our needs. So these three types of miserliness, miserliness in wealth, miserliness in effort, and miserliness in behavior, are very serious impediments in terms of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Example, miserliness in wealth means that we don't, whatever we have, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat yahoshi tadasi, whatever we have, all that we do, all that we offer, all that we give away in charity, all austerities that we may perform, everything that we do is seen as an offering to Krishna. So in terms of wealth, one may say, oh, I only earn $20,000 a year, I have five kids, I have a wife, I'm either renting an apartment or own a house, etc. It's very difficult to make ends meet. So it's not so much, part of responsibility is taking care of what you have taken on as your burden. That is undeniable. And it is part of the responsibility in terms of behavior of a Vaishnava that one does like that. So whatever one has, however small it may be, it is the quality of the mindset when one gives whatever it is, however small it may be. And Krishna is so kind that even you do a little something, he sees it. He's such a lover that he sees it and he recognizes it and he appreciates it. You imagine God having to be appreciative, but he is. He appreciates it. I remember once when I was in high school, for those of you not of the United States, I played football, which is not soccer. It's American football, and it's a little different. And I played football, and I was on the defense. And the defense is a kind of an inglorious position. You don't get to run to make the touchdowns, and you don't get to dance in the end zone after you don't get to do all that, and you don't get your name in the newspaper or anything like that. So I played defense, which means basically we had to stop the opposing team from scoring. So when you did that, then the offense came in and they scored and they get all the credit. But one time, we stopped them, they kicked the football, but the punter kicked the football really short, right where I was. So I grabbed the football and I thought, oh my God, now's my opportunity. So I took a step to the right, and I took a step to the left, and then 10 monsters jumped on me. So I had my moment of glory for approximately 2 seconds. And then they peeled everybody off of me and I was crushed. But my father was in the audience. My father was in the audience. He turned to my uncle. My uncle told me. He turned to my uncle and he said, did you see the two moves that he made? It was nothing. But who in the whole audience would say, did you see the two moves that he made? The step to the right, the step to the left. And then he got crushed. He didn't see that. So out of affection, so Krishna is very much like that. We make a little bit of an endeavor, and he sees our step to the right, he sees our step to the left. And even though we may get piled on by monsters, the demons of doubt and so many things like that. Krishna sees that, and he appreciates that so much. There's a story of the Avanti Brahmin. And this is this story has twofold effect. One is it teaches about miserliness, and the second one it teaches about tolerance. The Avanti Brahmin was a very wealthy Brahmin, and he earned a lot of money, and he had a lot of prestige as a result of being wealthy. But there was one thing wrong with that. He was in a Brahmin family, but he was very wealthy. He was very miserly. He was miserly in his efforts in terms of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was miserly with his money, not only towards service to God, but even within his own family. And he was miserly in terms of behavior. Miserliness of behavior means showing proper respect, speaking kindly, speaking nicely, purity of thought, self-control. This is behavioral miserliness. So in all three categories, in terms of effort, behavior, and wealth, he was miserly. The end result of the Avanti Brahmin was that his family, whatever friends he had, they were all very much dissatisfied with his behavior. And eventually, they would not even give affection. Because everyone knows, you receive affection when you're giving. When you're acting in the proper way, then family members, friends appreciate you and they give you affection. Affection is actually a quality, an eternal ornament of the soul. It is not a pious quality. Someone who is just pious. It is pious, but it is a piety born of the soul, as is forgiveness, as is compassion. These are good qualities, but these are ornaments of the soul. These are eternal qualities. So this Avanti Brahmin, he was miserly in all three respects. And the end result was, in the due course of time, when someone has good karma, what does that mean? That means the result of past activities, he gets some reward. The problem with karma is the fact that it's you can lose your karma or spend, you know, much like a bank account. If you have a bank account and you put money into your bank account, then there's only so much withdrawal that you can make without depositing. So in other words, if you put good karma, pious activities, and thus receive good reactions, and part of the good reactions is beauty, wealth, health, intelligence, like that. These are the results of good karma. If you put it into the bank account, but then you become proud, or then you become greedy, then you become selfish, miserly, then what it means is, even if you have $100,000 in the bank account, if you keep withdrawing and withdrawing and withdrawing, and pretty soon you get the bounce check notice. So in terms of the Avanti Brahmin, he had pious credits. The result was wealth, but he became very miserly. And he was not depositing back into the account. Of course, from a Vaishnava perspective, we don't look to deposit into an account of good karma or bad karma, because that means birth after birth after birth. But in the case of the Avanti Brahmin, he was withdrawing and withdrawing and withdrawing. And finally, when he used up all of his account, then he got his insufficient check notice in the form of loss of wealth, loss of prestige, loss of family members, government taxes or delinquency in taxes. So many different things occurred to him simultaneously. What do they say? When it rains, it pours. So when it rains, it pours. With him, it just was a deluge, constant. And everything was taken away from him. And he went from this position of being wealthy and known, you know, having some degree of fame, he went from that position all the way down to a beggar in the street. He was poor. And he was so disturbed. His mind was so disturbed. He was crying. His throat was choked up. he couldn't understand, how did this happen to me? How was everything taken from me? So everything was taken from him because of that, because his account was now devoid of pious. Now he had to suffer, and suffer he did. But because he had some degree of Brahminical understanding, there was an epiphany. He thought that all of my misery, why am I miserable right now? Miserly, miserable, kind of related. Why? I had everything, and I was miserable. I didn't have family affection. I didn't have, I didn't have a lot of things that actually bring peace to the heart. But now, everything's taken away from me, and I have nothing, no encumbrances. I'm free. So he had this epiphany of renunciation, and he thought that, this is not due to anybody. This is not my family. This is not the government. It is not by providence. It's nothing. It's by my lack of effort that I'm in this situation. My miserliness of wealth. My disrespect to people. My bad behavior. All these things. I have put myself in this position. Nobody else. So when he had that epiphany, he was free. He was very renounced. He had no permanent home. He had no definite meal. He had no clothes. He had no bank account. He had nothing. And in this mind or mood of renunciation, he traveled the world, traveled all throughout. So miserliness is a very serious thing. It makes you miserable. So what it made him, it brought him to the point of understanding that all of my suffering was a result of my attachments, and not only my attachments, but a result of not even behaving properly, with proper conduct, proper behavior. I was even miserly in my behavior. I was not respectful to people. I did not have kind words for people. If people came to my house, I would not offer them prasadam. All of these things. He realized that. And that's one thing that we have to realize. We have to realize that whatever Krishna has given us in terms of wealth, then we can share that wealth. Even, there's a story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking near the Shakshi Gopal temple, and he was accompanied by many Grihastha disciples. And many of these Grihastha disciples, you know, were working people. They were merchants or bankers or agriculture or whatever. He attracted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because of his purity. He attracted many rich and successful, intelligent people. They were walking towards the Shakshi Gopal temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noticed that not one of his Grihastha disciples gave anything in charity to poor people. And he said, everyone, you sit down. And he chastised them. Why? Because he understood that the tendency of the ashram can be so many reasons, so many justifications, so much rationalization as to why I can be miserly with my wealth, why I can be miserly with my effort, why I can be miserly with my behavior. So he said to them, unless you are of a giving heart, if you're not of a giving heart, then you could become ensnared by the illusory potency of the material energy. Generosity, kindness, mercy, these are not subsidiary effects of being devotional. They are natural manifestations of the pure heart. So when mercy is there, when kindness is there, when forgiveness is there, these are actually ornaments of the soul. This is meaning. This kind of temperament and this mood, this environment, internal environment that is there, is so conducive to the growth of the Bhakti Lata Bija, the seed of devotion. And being miserly in effort, being miserly in behavior, being miserly in wealth is contrary. It's just like if you have a garden, you can till the soil, especially this soil, you can till the soil and throw some seeds in, and maybe or maybe not you'll get something to grow. But if you're careful when you till the soil and you add some fertilizer, it's like we had a garden and I saw my wife out, and right across from us is a cattle ranch. My wife was out in the cattle ranch field and she's picking up all the cow dung for the garden. Out there, you know, moving the cows and picking up and taking that cow dung and putting it into, working it into the soil so that the environment was a richer environment, more nourished environment. So the heart, when we're in a particular situation, ashram, and recognizing what our situation is, we have to be very, very careful to nourish the heart where the seed of devotion sits. Because that environment, that fertilized environment, is proper environment for the growth of the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotion. And that means even if we're the poorest of the poor, we can still be kind. We can still be merciful. We can still share whatever we had. When Krishna went to King Balalashva and Shrutidev the Brahmin. Shrutidev the Brahmin had nothing. He was poor. Just like Kolavecha Sridhar had nothing. He was poor. But Kolavecha Sridhar, he made banana leaf cups. And whatever he made, he used for Ganga Puja. The Shrutidev the Brahmin, Krishna came to him, and he had nothing, but he gave him a nice place to sit. He gave him kind words. He gave him water. Whatever he had. So the quality that of giving comes from the heart, and the heart is purified through seeing with this kind of perspective that everything is Krishna's. Everything in relationship to Krishna. Everything that I do, all that I offer, all that I give away, any sacrifice that I may make, any austerity that I may perform, this is in relationship to Krishna. And that environment is so creates such a fertile heart that kindness, the words, we're enthusiastic. Look at Madhavi Lata. She painted this whole temple room by herself. So she was very giving of her effort. We see Adikarta, 3-4 times a week he goes out and he talks to people about Krishna consciousness. Giving of his effort. This is practical manifestation. What Krishna has given me, I give to Krishna. I am so grateful, I am so appreciative, I am so thankful. You've given me time, my time is yours, Krishna. You've given me money, my money is yours, Krishna. You've given me eloquence of speech. You've given me whatever you've given. It is yours, Krishna. I give it to you. That way, the heart is such a fertile environment, the seed of bhakti lata. We want to hear and chant. We want Vaishnava Sangha. All of the manifestations of that healthy bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotion, begin to exude forth. Just like when the seed begins to grow roots, then the plant begins to sprout. And then if it's further healthy, it grows leaves, the stems grow out. Further health, it gets stronger in the base, the leaves become full and lush, stronger, and fruits are there, flowers are there first, then fruits. And all of these nice manifestations of a healthy plant. So the healthy heart that has the bhakti lata bij, that has been Guru Krishna Prasade Pai bhakti lata bij, which has been planted by Krishna's mercy through the medium of Guru, nourished by the water of Sadhu Sangha and Shastra, hearing Krishna Katha regularly, all of these things, they are so interconnected, they are so entwined, that further interest develops, further desire for hearing Krishna Katha, for choosing proper association, being kind as a grihastha, giving what you can give, having people over for prasadam, giving prasadam out freely, whatever you cook, you share, you distribute, being kind and merciful to animals. All of these things begin to generate from the heart, from that heart which has sprouted within it the seed of devotion that is growing into this wonderful creeper that is growing, piercing the layers of the material universe and reposing itself at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So that is, giving is living for the Vaishnava. And without that giving mentality, without that generosity, that kindness, that mercy, then we kind of wither up and dry. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he regularly gave out freely donations of rice, of cloth, of his family wealth to the poor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, did that as an example for us. So we should understand that. We should understand that principle. A lot more to say, but time is up. And right now, I'll just stop right here and ask anybody if they have any questions or comments. Anybody? Yes. Jai Gauri? You're welcome. Now everybody give a donation to the dealers. I want to see a line at the Hundi box. Any other question or comment? Yes, sir. Yes. Well, that's one thing we have to be careful of, Kanishta mentality. We have to be careful that God is only here, but he's not anywhere else. We have to be careful of that. And we have to respect each other. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, manida manidena, manida manidena. We have to one thing that we have to forget what we do. We have to forget our own efforts. We forget that. But we remember others. And we remember Krishna. It's not that we dwell on, oh, I did this and I did that and I did that. No, that's what we forget. But what we remember is the two steps that guy took on the football field. That's what we have to remember. And we have to appreciate. Every morning, one way to cultivate that field within the heart, every morning you get up and you inventory all that you have to be appreciative of. Not all that, oh, my neck, I got arthritis in my neck and my shoulder and my knees and oh my God, it's mortgage time. No, everything that you have to be appreciative of, you take inventory of that. Pran Govinda? Yes. Thank you. Now that's why I said by properly cultivating the Bhakti Lata Bija, these automatically manifest. You see, the roots grow first, and then the twigs, and then the leaves, and all these things automatically, not through any independent effort. So very good point. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada.